Around 2 years ago, JFK decided to take a look into the empty space not covered by traditional audience measurement currencies to get a better understanding of overall video consumption. They started to track SVOD in the US and the UK in some detail, only to find that a number of people expressed an interest in something that would provide a broader base study, even if the data were less granular. Now, the Viewscape research covering 15 markets across the world is providing valuable insights into the total video landscape, some of which Julia Lamaison, Research Director of Media at GFK, shares now with ASI's Research Director, Richard Marks.
Well, Julia, welcome to the ASI cast. We're here to talk primarily about the Viewscape initiative you're going to be talking about at the ASI conference in Singapore next month. Firstly, can you give me some background to how Viewscape came into being? Where did the idea come from and who's behind it? Who funds the survey?
Sure. Some of the attendees who are coming along to the conference will know that for about the last 18 months, we've been tracking consumption of SVOD services in the UK and the USA. And this is at a title level. And in talking to people about that particular study, we had one or two people saying to us, do you know what? I'm not really interested in the title level data, but there's a real lack of a study that gives us a broader but less granular look at the total video landscape. So we at GFK kind of took that away and gave some thought to that. And that was kind of where the initiative came from, really. And in order to kind of get it off the ground, we have been supported by around five key clients who have been what we call our founding partners. And they're a group of international broadcasters, and they've been great. We had a workshop with them very early on in the process, and that was very instrumental, really, in kind of crafting the scope and clarifying the objectives. So that's where the idea kind of came from. It's a kind of embryonic idea that we took and developed in association with the end users to make sure that the study delivered what they wanted.
So you mentioned you're covering more than just SVOD or SVOD.
Yep.
What types of video activity are you covering in the survey?
Well, that's kind of how long is a piece of string, really. And what we've discovered with this survey, it's a bit like Topsy, that, you know, the minute you start asking people about their consumption of video on demand, it kind of grows exponentially. And in essence, we have concentrated on the broadcast of video on demand platforms, pay TV and SVOD. But we don't ignore the providers like YouTube, like iTunes and Facebook. These are all global providers of video content that are kind of, if you like, competing with the traditional platforms for people's available time spent viewing video. So whilst we concentrate on the more traditional kind of TV forms, we don't ignore the other platforms.
So how do you actually gather the data then? How frequently do you do it? What's the methodology that's at the heart of the survey?
Okay. Well, ideally, of course, we'd like to employ a passive measurement technology, but that doesn't work in this environment because we're capturing activities across a lot of different devices, and we're also capturing activities across a lot of different platforms. So we have adopted a tried and tested recall-based survey. We understand the strengths and weaknesses of that and the pitfalls, and we have quite a lot of validation built into the online survey to enable us to really kind of validate what people are telling us. But in essence, yes, it's an online survey. And whilst we recognise the inherent bias in many ways, that's the only method that we currently have capturing this broad market.
Well, I guess particularly given famously some of the brands are very reticent to have their data in the public domain in the first place. So
indeed,
I guess
they are.
I guess that, you know, things like return path data are not likely to be forthcoming from companies like Netflix. But presumably one of the challenges would be that we live in the media world where we have neat phrases like SVOD, OTT, subscription video, which presumably the general public don't necessarily use. So how do you describe, how are people describing what it is they're doing and categorizing it and knowing what's relevant, that what you want to be measured? How do you get around that perception filter that the public doesn't live in media land where we've got a name for everything?
Indeed. I mean, that's been one of the steep learning curves, and I'll be sharing a few kind of insights on that and amusing anecdotes, I think, at the conference. But you're right, the man in the street does not think of Netflix as a subscription streaming on demand platform. So to address that, we ask people what brands they're using. That's the safest way. And what we've found is that if we look at the reach of subscription video on demand and then compare that with the reach of all the brands, there's a gap between the two. So in order to get a true picture, you really have to ask about the brands within that space that people are using. And that's not foolproof. So whilst you can identify the major brands, there will inevitably be a long tail of smaller brands that you can't attempt to capture in a survey. But we do stick with brand level, provider level information, and we've had to back code that. So we back code anyone that says Netflix becomes an SVOD user.
So how long have you been tracking the survey in this particular format? How much historic data have you got?
Well, we haven't. We're really at the early stages. So the intention is that this is not something that we intend. It's a partner to audience measurement. It doesn't in no way seek to replace the audience measurement currencies. It seeks to amplify those, if you like. So the intention is that it will be a study that's conducted twice a year, and it's a snapshot in time. So once every 6 months, we look at what are the brands that people are using, what are the activities they're doing, what are the devices that they're using to do it.
And when you, I think it was back in Madrid at the European ASI conference about 18 months ago now, you presented the data from the original version of the survey. I think that was two countries, wasn't it? The UK and the US. How have you widened the geographical coverage for this new iteration of the survey?
Yep, so that was the UK and US, that's correct. And we include the UK and the US in this, but we've expanded. We've got 15 markets in the first phase. And we cover, you know, a wide kind of cross section of Brazil and Mexico in Latin America, Singapore, India, Japan and Australia in APAC. And then the main markets, but including interesting markets like Sweden and the Netherlands in the European side of the thing.
And was there a particular rationale for which countries? Was it the ones that were known to be more advanced in SVOD or have better broadband, or where the brands were strongest?
Yeah, it was an interesting question. I think we started out with about 20 or 25 where we thought there would be interest, but that really came down to the founding partners, and they helped us to determine what the most interesting markets would be. And it is interesting because For the various elements of video on demand that we've been looking at, there are differences between the markets. I should just add that we also capture piracy as well. That was an interesting side of things for our clients. Would not have participated in the study had we not also included those elements of kind of illegal downloading and streaming that are currently going on in some markets more than others.
And are there challenges? I know government surveys, colleagues in social research always have problems researching the incidence of something that is technically illegal, because people are always slightly worried to admit they're doing something that in theory they shouldn't be. How do you get around that? Or is it just so widespread that people don't know it's illegal, if you see what
I mean? I think that is very often the case, that in the same way that people don't think of Netflix as a subscription video on demand service, so they don't think of the main brands that provide access to this type of content in terms that they are illegal. Yeah.
Oh, so you do it at a brand level rather than.
So we do it. Yeah, we have five or six recognised brands. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Now you're going to be sharing the results in Singapore, so I don't want to preempt your paper too much in terms of the findings. But I mean, what does the overall shape of subscription VOD look like? Was there anything that surprised you about this first wave in terms of the results that you've got coming back?
I don't think there was anything particularly surprising. It is evident that in some countries it's taken off much more speedily and is much more widespread than in other markets. So, for example, in the United States, where it has been established for longer, there is no doubt that there is higher take-up and higher amounts of viewing. And that's also the case because to date, a lot of the content is very US orientated. So in those markets where there are fewer English speakers, such as Japan, you do see lower levels of take up and lower levels of viewing as there are the content available to people is a little bit more limited.
Mm. And it's a question I often ask people, in your own personal view, is someone watching something like House of Cards or Jessica Jones on Netflix, are they watching television or is it actually a different type of viewing?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think they're watching television. Certainly the majority are watching it on a television set. Because a lot of this content is very high quality and people like to share it with others. So we do see that the television set is really the device of choice. Whether they would class it as television, because they, of course, watch it in a completely different way. They're not dictated to by a schedule, and neither are they dictated to in the number of episodes that they can watch at any one time. So I think I'm on the fence there, Richard, that it is and it isn't television.
People often are, but it's the, do you collect genre level information? I'm assuming that the majority by volume of content of SVOD on these services is television as opposed to Hollywood movies. Would that be a correct assumption?
In this study, we only really collect a high level genre classification, so movies or TV programs.
Yeah.
But we do know from our more granular study, yes, that around 2/3 of viewing on SVOD platforms is to TV series.
Because that certainly seems to be where the SVOD players are putting their money at the moment in terms
Indeed. Of
box sets, because you can get people on board, I guess, more loyally than just for a one-off film.
I think so. And I think, you know, that is the new way of watching TV, that we always knew in the past, didn't we, that people didn't watch every single episode of Coronation Street or EastEnders. But people do watch every single episode of these series because they can determine when they do that.
Mm, absolutely. Well, I think I'll wrap up now because I'm in danger of luring you into giving the whole paper. So we'll hold that back for Singapore.
Indeed, and, we're looking forward to it.
Many thanks for taking the time to speak to us on the ASI cast.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much for asking me.
Cheers.